Well, summer is getting close and graduations are beginning this weekend. And next week is Memorial Day weekend, which is the official start of summer. So it's pretty exciting. And summer means Valley Fair. And Valley Fair means the wild thing. Yeah. Put them up. About. Pretty great, isn't it? So the anticipation that you feel when you're watching that roller coaster come to the top, it's clicking up and, you know, it's a nice ride. You can see all over Valley Fair and over the surrounding area. But, you know, when you sit into a roller coaster and you strap yourself in, you know what's coming, right? And I want you to understand that today, this is kind of a parallel for life. That it's a great ride, but we all know what's coming. And that means that there's ups and there's downs throughout life. And so today we discover that whether you're on a roller coaster or on a mountaintop, God is still God. So in fact, when we are distracted by all the things going on around us, including this video that's playing in the background, then we recognize that God is still God. And that's where we are reading in this book of Kings as we read through the Immerse Reading Bible series of kingdoms. We recognize now as we're getting towards the end that life in Israel is full of ups and downs. There's good kings, there's bad kings, and there's mostly bad kings. And things are sometimes quite crazy. So week 7, we're kicking off, and it reads like the wild thing feels. From thrills, you know, to thrown up. You know, in this middle of the story that we're in today, in the kings of Israel, there's the tribe of Judah, which is the southern kingdom. There's the tribe of Israel, which is the northern kingdom. After King Solomon, they split up and they kind of go their separate ways. But in this one today in the northern kingdom, we find a couple of chapters that are kind of sandwiched in the middle that talk about this guy named Elijah. So Elijah, he is a prophet. And in the northern kingdom, at the time of Elijah, it's ruled by two particularly evil couple, and their name is King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. They're exceptionally nasty rulers. In fact, as you read this part of the Bible, I don't think you find anyone worse than these two. So as we pick up this part of the story, I'm just going to pray here as we jump in, and we'll take off. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for this recognition that you are God in the midst of all the things up and down. So I pray, Lord, now that you awaken our hearts and our minds to your word, to your truth. Lord, speak to us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these two, Ahab and Jezebel, they have turned Israel away from the one true God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know, it's the God of David. And as we walk in, they are leading the people away from the one true God into worship of idols, these Canaanite idols that are actually detestable to God. And so as we jump in, that's the culture that Elijah the prophet lives in. And this is the account of his life, kind of illustrates this roller coaster up and down ride. And he does his best to demonstrate the one true God in the midst of people who really don't care that much about his God. Could that be our culture today? You know, we live in a culture, that we hear a lot of doom and gloom. And I don't like to talk just about that. I mean, I think God is moving today in amazing ways, especially in this generation that we haven't seen in some time. And so God is at work. But we also need to be honest that much of our world today doesn't know the God we know, doesn't care all that much about the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, the God we know in Jesus Messiah, you know, the good news gospel. And that means that when we try to focus our lives on living as followers of Jesus, who make followers of Jesus, that we're going to face some big ups and some big downs as well. Some thrills and, well, really some times when it just feels like our stomachs are upside down and the turmoil just gets us feeling woozy and crazy. So it's hard to stay focused on, you know, what we know we ought to be doing as followers of Jesus when there's so many distractions and so many things going on that take us and take our attention in different directions. So today is Senior Sunday. We'll be talking about in second service. But, you know, when we're thinking about this for ourselves, you know, when we talk about what we do with our lives and what our life's purpose is, it's sometimes hard to measure, you know, how we can leverage all those goals and pursuits that we have to being followers of Jesus, who make followers of Jesus, who make more followers of Jesus. You know, how do we know when we're accomplishing that purpose? And that makes Elijah a great role model for us today. And here's why. And all that life throws at Elijah, he constantly keeps rediscovering one thing. On roller coasters and mountaintops, God is still God. I invite us to say those last four words together, right? God is still God. You know, the roller coaster up and downs of the kings of Israel have led the people away, but it's leading Elijah into two mountaintop experiences that I think are worth exploring for us as followers of Jesus. You know, in spiritual language, mountaintop experiences are these encounters. It's describing this time when there's this meeting with God, when there's this real profound experience of God's presence. And maybe you have experienced that, some of you, hopefully all of you. But, you know, when we talk about these experiences, they are usually taking place after a long walk with Jesus or after a pursuit of God. You know, you may have had a mountaintop experience, a presence of God, you know, out of the blue, just came upon you. But oftentimes, it happens when we're seeking God. In fact, the scriptures tell us, in James it says, come near to God and God will come near to you. So as we're drawing near to God, we experience these mountaintop experiences of God's profound presence. You see, these mountaintop experiences in the Bible often take place as well after following God or a journey with God over a long period. And that's the case here with Elijah. He's walking with God over a period of 3.5 years, which include a drought, a raven, and a widow. And you can read all about it in 1 Kings, begins in chapter 17. In fact, I would encourage you, if that's all that you're reading through the Immerse series, go ahead and take those chapters, 17 through about 20, and read through them. They're great. Get all the details. But just to bring up again, Katie told us about the drought. You know, God called Elijah to announce to Ahab that there's going to be a drought in the land. And this is dangerous for two reasons for Elijah. First, because, you know, for this prophet of God who Ahab doesn't care about anyway, to announce a drought, you know, a drought would be catastrophic for the kingdom and probably for Ahab. And so he doesn't want to hear anything about that. In fact, he may just feel like killing Elijah because of this. But the second reason why this is dangerous is because a drought affects who? Everybody, right? And so Elijah's going to be affected as well. So who's going to take care of Elijah when the king's hunting him down? Well, we already found out that a raven's going to do it, right? God's going to provide, make provision for Elijah along this brook called Kirith, and he's going to take care of him. But eventually the drought is so bad that the brook dries up, the raven flies away, and now what? Well, God says, no problem, I'm still going to take care of you. I'm going to send you to a widow in Zarephath. Now, again, this is kind of crazy because when we realize where Zarephath is, it's kind of outside of Israel. It's kind of outside the place where the people of God would reside. And secondly, there's a widow in the middle of a drought. How is a widow going to take care of anyone else? They can't take care. She can't take care of herself. In fact, when Elijah gets there, he asks her to make some bread. And she says, oh, wait a minute here. I'm just going to take my last little bit of flour. I'm going to bake it together for my son and I, some bread. And we're going to have our last meal together. And then we're going to die. Ooh, that's a good place to go, right? But Elijah knows that God has promised this, and he goes, and God provides. The flour never runs out. And he continues to take care of Elijah through this widow and her son. But even in the midst of that, the widow's son gets sick and he dies. And God's like, well, God, what are you doing here? Could it get any worse? I mean, this poor widow who's providing for me that you're using, you know, now her son dies. And Elijah goes and prays for this boy who has died, and he comes back to life. Now, let me ask you this. How do you think Elijah feels about trusting God after all those experiences? I think he's probably going to, right? I mean, pretty amazing, pretty powerful. You know, when God then tells Elijah to go bring a message to King Ahab on the top of Mount Carmel, Elijah is ready. He's ready for a mountaintop experience. He's expecting great things to change in Israel, because he knows that when everyone else is going another way, what? God is still God. Let's say that together one more time. God is still God. So on Mount Carmel, God is still God. And this, I'm going to just describe to you what takes place, and I encourage you to go back and read this again, chapter 18. But on this mountaintop, Elijah calls together King Ahab and 850 prophets of these false god idols, the Baal prophets and the Asherah prophets, and they all get together, and there's going to be this big showdown. It's like this. Elijah is about to demonstrate who the God of Israel really is, and it's not these idol gods. And so they get together, and 850 prophets on one side of the idols, and Elijah all by himself on the other side. And he sets up this situation where they're going to have a sacrifice, and rather than do what they normally do, which would be light a big fire and burn up the sacrifice, they're going to prepare the sacrifice and wait for God to demonstrate who God is by bringing down fire from heaven and burning it up. And so Elijah says, hey, you guys, there's a lot of you. You go first. And so the prophets of Baal, they prepare their sacrifice. They chop up a bull. They put him on his altar, and they get it all ready. And then they start praying for their idols to bring down fire from heaven. And guess what happens? Nothing happens. And they wait all morning and nothing happens. And Elijah, he kind of starts taunting him. He's over here going, oh, what's the matter? Is your God asleep? Maybe you need to shout louder. Maybe you need to make more noise. Maybe he's on vacation. Get him over here to light up this fire. And so they go crazy all day trying to get their idols to send fire down. But we know that can't happen, right? Because they're not really gods. And so by the end of the evening, nothing happens, and Elijah says, hey, look, it's time for the prescribed sacrifices in the book of Moses. And so Elijah prepares his altar. He gets all the wood there. He prepares the sacrifice, the bull on the altar. And before he prays and calls on God to demonstrate who he is, does anybody know what happens? What happens? He pours water on it. He soaks the sacrifice so that it won't burn up, right? And he doesn't just pour it on once, but he pours it on how many times? Three times. He soaks the sacrifice super good. And everything is all wet and soaking, and then he begins to pray. And I think it's interesting to hear what he actually prays here in this section, because he comes before God. And he says, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so he's describing who God is, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know you, O Lord, our God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. You see, there's a purpose in all of this, and that is to bring the people back to God. And so he prays, fire comes down in dramatic fashion, burns everything up, totally destroys it, and everybody knows that, whoa, the God of Elijah is the real God, the true God. And so now Elijah's thinking, this is awesome. Everybody's going to turn back. The king's going to follow God. He's going to fall down on his face and worship, right? This is a mountaintop experience. Everybody's had to get this now, but it doesn't happen the way he thinks it's going to happen. It's not the change he'd hoped for. In fact, Queen Jezebel is so angry after Elijah has the prophets killed, Baal, that she threatens to take his life too. In fact, she says, "May I die if I don't take your life by tomorrow morning." And so Elijah runs away in fear. This mountaintop experience, awesome time, amazing power of God. And what happens? We turn the page and Elijah is running away in fear for his life. Now we can question why he's doing that. I mean, after all he's seen, we might think that he still ought to be able to trust God, but he doesn't. You know, it's over for Elijah. He runs away. His anticipation turns into deep, deep discouragement. Do you know what that's like? Do you ever feel like things are going wonderful, you're on this mountaintop experience, God is God, and then boom, you can't get any lower. Something happens in life, in your experience, where you feel like all hope is gone. It could be in plans that you've made, could be career paths, it could be life and relationships. Things were going great. You had everything all figured out, and then it all changes. And you don't know what's next. Well, I can say, if you've never experienced that, don't worry, you will. Life is like that. It's like that roller coaster, up and down. I want you to anticipate that in this life, there are ups and there are downs. So when life feels like you're on a roller coaster, up and down, twisting and turning, what do you do when it all feels out of control? You may think, well, that's easy. Get off the roller coaster. Exactly, right? And you know what? That's exactly what Elijah does. He gets off the roller coaster. He runs back to God. He's really lost his way at this point. He doesn't know what's next. He feels like all is lost, so he turns back to God. And this becomes his second mountaintop experience. He goes to Mount Sinai, and he learns that when you lose your way and all seems lost, good news, God is still God. Let's say that one more time. God is still God. So how bad is it for Elijah right now? Well, I think that he's probably thinking this showdown on Mount Carmel was going to be the best thing that ever happened, and it's not. It's actually kind of the worst thing that's ever happened to him. The queen wants him dead, and so he runs in fear, and he prays to God. Listen to his plea here. He says, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my descendants." Have you ever felt that way? God, I've had enough. Just put an end to my misery. Just stop all this. That's part of that roller coaster ride that we feel. When we're really sick to our stomach, if you've ever been on one, and you just can't hold it back anymore. You're about to hurl, and you can't get off the roller coaster because it's still going on. So what do you do when you get to the end? In real life, it's when we've really had enough, when we're miserable, we feel like no one else is on this journey that we're going on. No one knows what we are experiencing. We're all alone, and we want to say, "Lord, just end it now. Take me out of my misery." What do we do in this place? Where do we go when it feels like there's no more hope? Well, I don't want to paint an awful picture today, and especially, later on we're going to be talking to the students and think like, "Oh, wow, I'm looking forward to all this graduation and life ahead." But, in reality, this is life's ups and downs if you've been around. We know that we experience this. When we feel like running, there's only one place that we can really run to, and for a follower of Jesus, that is back to God, back to the beginning. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come back. Come back to get centered. So how'd that work for Elijah? Well, he took off. God sent an angel to strengthen him, gave him some food twice more, and he took a 40-day journey back to Mount Sinai, back to the beginning. It's the mountain where Moses met God. You know, it's the mountain where God revealed himself to his people. You know, and so what might Elijah expect there? Well, back in Moses' day, it was fire, it was rumbling, it was earthquakes, it was wonders. Maybe that's what Elijah is thinking again. He's just experienced that on Mount Carmel. Now he's going to go back and get centered on God. What does he find? Well, not the wonders he was expecting. Now I'm going to ask you to participate here. When we get to the end of these phrases, it's going to say, "But the Lord was not in." And I want you to say those with me. I'll cue you. It says, "The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" God's asking him one simple question. What are you doing here, Elijah? And I don't think God's asking this question to criticize him and point fingers at him. I think he's asking Elijah that to clarify his purpose and his call and who he truly is as a follower of God. See, God has more kingdom building work for Elijah. Elijah needs to know not done yet. God's got more ahead. So when he's sure that all of God's promises have been undone, and when he's sure that Elijah's the only person left who follows God, and when he's sure that everything has gone bad, he rediscovers the one truth he needs to know. That on roller coasters and on mountaintops, what? God is still God. So our lives as Jesus followers are like Elijah's. You know, they're full of these roller coaster up and downs, just like on the Renegade. Hands up. Are they ready? Here we go. Now, I've been on this one. I've been on all of these so far, but on this one is terrible. I went on this one with Sam Murphy one time, and he hung so tightly onto my arm, I thought I was going to fall off. Remember that, Sam? It was crazy. This one throws you right and left and up and down. It's rough and wild, and it just doesn't stop. It goes on and on and on and on, and you're wondering, oh, there's the end. No, it's not the end, and you just keep going and going and going. And life is like that sometimes. It's like the Renegade. You know, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's jerking back and forth, and when we start to wonder, what's this life all about, we probably need a face-to-face with God. We need a mountaintop experience. We need an encounter with the God who began it all. We need that simple question. What are you doing here, Tim? Put your own name in there. What are you doing here? You know, when we get off track, and I'm sure at some point everybody does, everybody gets off track, whether it's right now or in the future, you know, there's one response to that question that makes sense. What am I doing here? The response is to run back to God, to hear that still, small voice, which becomes that reassurance for all of us. You know, to what we've been taught, what we hold on to deep in our soul when the rest of life just seems out of control. The truth. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. For who you are. Not what you do or not what circumstances life has thrown at you. You matter to God. You're chosen. You're important. You are secure in Christ. You're significant simply because you are God's child. You have a future forever with Him. You have hope in all times, no matter what those current circumstances are. You belong to Christ. You're part of His body, His church, His family. You're His. You always will be. And you have a role. You still have a role. Because God is always God, and His promises never fail. So in those ups and downs of lives, when it takes you to places that you don't understand, go back. Back to the roots of our faith. Back to those who love you. Back to those who accept you. Back to those who hold on to hope for you, even when you feel your hope is lost. Those who pray for you, those who lift you up and encourage you. And when you're in the midst of all of life's noise and everyone is shouting for your attention and pointing away from your true calling and heart as a follower of Jesus, making followers of Jesus, then stop and run back to that place where you can still hear the still small voice of God. It may require getting away and getting alone. And when you're there, rediscover yourself. For yourself, that in roller coasters and mountaintops, what? God is still God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are God in all circumstances, in all places, and forever, and that you will be praised. And Lord, that you've got us in the midst of all of life's ups and downs. And thank you, Lord, for the wonderful moments of your presence and the wonderful times when we experience you at work and life is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. But Lord, help us remember that when life doesn't feel good, when things feel like they're down in the lowest place, and when we feel like we've lost our hope, Lord, help us to remember to hold on to you and know that you are still God. In Jesus' name, amen.